Welcome to Sort My Money Podcast, where you'll learn tried and tested techniques that are unsurpassed in Australia to help you take control of your money and give you financial peace of mind. Want to learn how to create successful money habits and budget planning to finally get your finances on track and turbocharge your financial future? Let's find out how with financial coach David Rankin. So welcome to episode 3 in your A to Z budget planning series, where we'll be covering E and F of successful money habits so you can finally get your finances on track and turbocharge your financial journey. So David, let's start with letter E. What does letter E stand for?
I think that a lot of people will connect with letter E, Anne-Marie, especially in modern day life. E is for entrepreneur. Do you remember George W. Bush, the president? Seems like a long time ago now, but he's reputed to have uttered to British Prime Minister Tony Blair, "The trouble with the French is that they don't have a word for entrepreneur." And of course, we're all entrepreneurs now, aren't we? It doesn't matter. We could have a career. It seems like everybody is an entrepreneur in their own lunchtime. If they're not self-employed, they have a side hustle. And if they don't, I'm sure their partner does. We're all geared to business these days. And part of the reason for that is technology has empowered us to become our very own CEOs and CFOs. We've all got laptops and smartphones, cloud computing. It's absolutely standard. And we can all make money on the go. That's the theory anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is.
In reality, all the tech in the world doesn't change the fact that there needs to be sufficient demand for your product or service to turn a profit. And neither does it replace the need to ensure the cash continues to flow. There's a famous Australian venture capitalist called Paul Bassat, and he says that startups have only one rule, and that's don't run out of cash. Cash flow is, however, the main reason why most small businesses fail. And really what I want to do is help people to address that challenge and increase their chances of surviving and thriving in business.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking about that, I mean, this is one, again, we're talking, you're going to share some habits, some tips, some insights into that. Because quite often we hear, oh, you know, become an entrepreneur, work your own hours, have the money flowing in. But what you're saying was, look, it's all, you know, great to be able to talk about, but there's certain things that you need to have in place. So what are your top three tips, David?
Absolutely, Anne-Marie. So my tips here are coming from a place of experience, because I run my own business. I'm a former bank manager. I'm a former small business specialist. So I've got a good insight into this, and I want to put people on the fast track to success. And number one for that is, if you are going to launch your business and you can get very passionate about that new idea, but please don't give up the day job anytime soon. If possible, keep as much of your and your partner's regular income going for as long as you can. Even if it means working late nights and early morning, that steady, reliable income is going to be the fuel that ignites your business.
That's so important, isn't it? Because if you do suddenly give up and kind of, you know, put your notice in, that really is going to provide such extra pressure for your business to start generating income. And what we realize with our business is that the income that we generate, there's expenses that come out of that, which I know one of them is certainly going to talk about in a moment. So that's so wise. Keep it going. Do you know that there's something that I used to refer to called the portfolio career, that you can build up your business as you're still working in corporate or whatever job that you have? And that's such a sound strategy. So I love that first tip.
Yes, you're right, Anne-Marie. There are hidden costs, and the biggest one is probably yourself. Yeah. That's the biggest cost to being in business, certainly at the beginning. That business is eventually going to be supporting you and your life. So my tip is to make an exhaustive list of all of your personal outgoings, from your mortgage or your rent to groceries through to birthdays, Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day, you name it. Work out exactly how much net income you need from the business each week to support your life. That means really getting on top of your personal finances. Personal finances are the bedrock of your financial business success. I know that a business can be so enticing and compelling and interesting that you feel that you want to leapfrog the personal finances into the fascinating world of business, but you do that at your peril. Master the basics, master your own finances, and you will find that they will just add to the success and support the success of your business.
So true. I mean, how many people, when you ask them, well, what are your expenses? And you've listed some, you know, the beautiful ones that you've mentioned. If we're not clear on that, we have no idea, well, how much income do you need to make? And there's so many different aspects of that that comes through knowing exactly what you need. And yeah. I can see that that's so, so important. So that's tip number two. What's the third tip when it comes to E for entrepreneur?
Last but not least, is it's all about planning your costs. And let me go completely counterintuitive, but I want you to plan to pay lots of tax. So that is a nice problem to have as an entrepreneur, because it shows that you are hitting the mark, that you are providing a product or service that people can't get enough of, and that's the sweet spot. So even if the ATO, if the tax office is not currently a cost for you, for your business, it won't be at the beginning, it certainly will be in the future. I want you to put tax aside regularly now so that your business can breeze into the next financial year without a hitch. The last thing you want is tax to be holding up your investment and your business success. Plan that cost from the beginning, and it will never be an impediment to success.
Yeah, that's challenging the status quo again, plan to pay lots of tax, because as you say, that's a great problem to have, because it means that your business is certainly, it's a thriving one, because obviously you've got lots of income, people are wanting your service, your products, which as you say, is just evidence of a really successful business. So that is E. E is for entrepreneur. What is F?
F is for financial planning. And why am I going to talk about financial planning? It sounds almost so obvious that it shouldn't be included, but actually, in reality, it's a widely misunderstood term. If you've ever been to see a financial planner, and I'm not one, by the way, you will know, and this is a theme of this podcast, that what they talk about to you is as much about product planning as it really is about financial planning. The products which a financial planner is likely to discuss with you include life insurance, income protection insurance, and superannuation. And if you're listening and you're not in Australia, it's all about your retirement. And I'm going to look at those products here that a financial planner will discuss with you. If you have a significant amount of spare cash, a financial planner might also discuss investment options with you too. Under Australian law, some insurances can be paid for out of your superannuation, and these include life and income protection insurance. So if you're paying for either of these from your cash flow, from your bank account, therefore, you might consider paying for these from your super instead. Certainly worth looking into. As well as benefiting your cash flow, this can be more tax effective, as your employer's super contributions are taxed at 15%, which is lower than most people's marginal rate of tax. I don't want to get too technical, but I just want to open people's mind to the most effective way, potentially, of paying for things like life insurance and income protection insurance.
Yeah, lots of things to consider that, which can get, you know, quite overwhelming for some, but that's why it's great to have people such as yourself. But also what you're talking about is really, you know, become far more aware and create these incredible habits, the empowering habits to really get control of your money. Anything else we need to consider around F for financial planning?
Back to superannuation again. Australian superannuation consists, among others, of retail and industry funds. Retail, known also as for-profit funds, are run by banks and wealth management companies and haven't always had the best of reputations in terms of the fees they charge, for example. Historically, industry not-for-profit funds have often outperformed their retail counterparts by generating high investment returns and having charging lower fees. If you are in a retail fund, therefore, you might want to compare its returns and fees with those of an equivalent industry fund. It might be that you've been to see a financial planner and he or she recommended a fund. And that fund might have been recommended on the basis that he or she would simply be making more profit and commission off that. And I really, what I'm trying to do here is to just make people aware, make people conscious. I have a term and I call it money mindful. I just want people to be money mindful. I'm not second guessing the decisions people should take. I'm not saying you definitely should have your life insurance paid for out of your super. I'm not saying you definitely should be in a not-for-profit super scheme. I'm saying that you should, what you should do if there's a should about this is be conscious, be money mindful, and make decisions which are in your best interest. And I think making a decision is where it's at. The decision itself is very much secondary to me. It's making that decision rather than having people and so-called financial professionals making the decision for you. I'm a financial professional and I consider myself to be like a financial taxi driver. If I'm dealing with somebody, I possibly know a great route to the destination. But if the person in the passenger seat says to me, David, I want to go a different route, then I will always defer to that person and the person I'm dealing with. And really your job, any financial professional, their job is to flag advice. But the person who is the client, who is paying for the service, will always and should always be the decision maker. Too often, historically, it's been the other way around. And I just want people to look at their super, to look at their life insurances and things like that. And I want them to do what's right for them.
Yeah. I love the way that you've explained that because, as you've said, we cannot make the decisions or the right decisions that are right for us. Who are we? What are the outcomes that we want? What are our circumstances, our situations? And for us to be able to make that right decision, we have to have the right information in front of us. And as you know, some of us may not know what that is, but getting the support partner, someone as yourself, such as a financial professional who's able to guide us with the right information so that we can make the right decision. That is what we want. So, David, that was F for financial planning. If someone wants to get in contact with you, have a chat, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way to connect is to go to my company's website, sortmymoney.com.au, or to give us a call on 1300 983861. And either way, it will lead to a conversation with myself.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Emery.
You've been listening to Sort My Money podcast. Want to create successful money habits so you can finally get your finances on track and turbocharge your financial future? Go ahead and book a Sort My Money consultation by going to www.sortmymoney.com.au or call us on 1300 983861. That's 1300 983861.